So there was a viral video last year of an actual Karen, I suppose, trying and failing to remove an Aboriginal flag, which trended hashtag too strong for Karen.
Yes.
How did Karen become the meme shorthand for problematic white women in this way?
Yes, sometimes it's a puzzle to know, you know, who was the original one. You know, this is the case with names generally when they come to stand for a certain type, and this has been going on for centuries, and plenty of male names do the same. I think it's the sheer frequency, the fact that, you know, Karen was on the most common names list, I think, in the 1960s, and so therefore it's just sheer frequency. You know, often it's media politics or, you know, celebrity endorsement that means a name will come into use in that way, but in this case, I think it's just sheer frequency.
Yeah, so a Brandwatch analysis indicates that the social media mention of Karen jumped from 100,000 to 2.7 million in the first half of this year. How has the current situation around COVID-19 and racial unrest, particularly in America, contributed to use of the term?
Well, I suppose, Karen's just out there in the limelight now, but, you know, for any sort of behaviour that's, I don't know, entitled and obnoxious and unreasonable and racist often, but it's always been there. There are earlier names like Miss Anne and Mr. Charlie was the male counterpart, and Becky was another one calling out obnoxious behaviour. So, you know, these have been used a lot, and there are also male equivalents like Kevin or Steve. Kyle is even a male Karen. Used in the same way. It's interesting the way names are pressed into service in this way, and it's always in an unkind way, it seems to me. I mean, you've just got to look at the deterioration of names in early English, like Jill and Polly and Meg and Jude and Judy, and, you know, they all were very, very negative. And Jack, male names as well, John, you know, used in appalling ways.
So there is a lot of debate, especially online, it seems, as to whether the term Karen is a slur with regards to privilege. Is it considered punching up? Does this trivialize discrimination, particularly given the context of that racial unrest that we spoke about? You know, is that a fair comparison for people to draw?
Well, I think it's we should be looking, you know, and I think that's the point that Howie and I made in this conversation article, that, you know, we should be debating this whole privilege area. I mean, you know, I feel very sorry for the, you know, it's the Karen debates are kind of, as I think we put it, it's the debates you're having when you should be debating privilege. And I feel very sorry for the Karens out there that are really copping it. It's awful.
When it comes to treating things as slurs, how do we as a society draw the line? When it comes to Karen, for example, even though people may feel attacked by it, you know, is it acceptable? And how do we decide what is acceptable when it comes to terminology used to describe people?
It's a very good question because, of course, as we know, it's not one size fits all, and words or names or slurs generally, that, you know, they're not intrinsically nasty. And sometimes, well, as we know here in Australia, the greatest slurs can be used as terms of endearment between the right sort of people, where we exchange these expressions, there's no hostility, and it's extremely difficult. And that's why it's so hard to legislate against words that wound, you know, because it's... Language is complex, very complex.
So speaking of legislation, last month lawmakers in San Francisco introduced the Karen Act, C-A-R-E-N, the Caution Against Racially Exploitative Non-Emergencies. Will it take clever acronyms to stop racially motivated police calls? How do we crack down on the actions of Karens without harming those named Karen?
I think there won't be too many in the future, will there? I imagine we're going to drop off the list of most popular names very quickly, and that's what usually happens with these names. Although, I must say, Jack is an exception to that. I mean, Jack was such an obnoxious term once upon a time that, you know, even the term jackass was remodeled to Johnny Bum by those in polite society in the 1700s. So, yeah, and Jack has made a big comeback as a popular name. But anyway, sorry, I didn't answer your question, I don't think.
That's all right.
Which was what, sorry? You'll have to forgive me. I've been teaching online all day.
And, that's all right.
I think that does something to my brain.
Oh, fair enough, too. Fair enough, too. I mean, the question was essentially, you know, will it take legislation to stop the actions and exploiting of privilege?
No. Yeah. No, it's I think not, and certainly, you know, just changing words, changing language doesn't really do it. Usually what happens is that language change follows social change, so you've got to, you know, you've got to get it at the core. I mean, a very good example of that is the title MS, you know, MS, which was brought in, I think, before people were ready. And, you know, for a long, long time, people avoided it. It became a very negative term. It became a slur in itself. It became a, you know, a fourth category for females. It was, you know, a good example of the fact that, you know, you've got to change society and then language will follow.
I mean,
it's a good way of drawing attention to the problem, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there is that by highlighting the problem, but it doesn't really fix it, does it?
Yeah, I think so, and that tends to be the case with countries that have taken that path, like Canada, on some issues. Anyway, Kate, thank you so much for joining us on Drive. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.